Welcome to Talking Stock. I'm your host, Doug Harvey, Director of the Institute for Faculty Development at Stockton University. Talking Stock is a space where colleagues can discuss teaching, scholarship, and service. On this episode, we'll discuss a topic that is of great interest to many faculty, book publishing. I will let my guest introduce herself to you now.
I'm Kristen Jacobson. I'm an associate professor at Stockton University, and I teach in the literature program. My focus is American literature, primarily contemporary, and I also have interests in women, gender, and sexuality studies and American studies.
Kristen, thanks for joining us. So for those of us who have never written an academic book, where do you start? How do you define publishing?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people start depending upon their field, and I'm coming from humanities, and so most of my advice or expertise, I guess, would, you know, relate best to the humanities. Mm-hmm. And so many people start with their dissertation, right? If they haven't decided to take their dissertation and send it out as five or six different articles, then what they're doing is revising it and putting it into something of publishable quality. The other route is that you have an idea, and the idea is that your book idea is something that can't be covered in an article. And so it's the scope of the idea then, in terms of thinking about, you know, why publish a book as opposed to publish something else beyond, like, it'd be cool to publish a book.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think that's where a lot of us start.
Yeah, right.
So you talk a little bit about scope. Mm-hmm. And I know one of the things that sometimes the faculty feel a little overwhelmed by that scope, by the complexity of it. So how do you manage that? What's your strategy for doing that?
Yeah, well, it's kind of in some ways going back to the process of thinking about writing a dissertation and how you structured that. That can be helpful to go back to that idea that books tend to have a certain kind of structure. And it's not, while it's a lot more complicated, it's not that much different than the five-paragraph essay in many ways, right? Okay. Where you have an idea and it needs to be developed, often in about five chapters, usually, and that those chapters are, you know, take their own sort of article length to expand them. But, you know, there are other kinds of books too to write. There's edited collections. And then it's also thinking about who your audience is. Mm-hmm. So there are different types of book publishers. There's academic and university presses, which usually have that sort of academic monograph. Those are those university presses. There are academic trade presses, and there are textbooks, of course, which is another route to go, or a reference publisher. There's trade presses, and then there's something that would be called a vanity, or is often referred to as a vanity press, where usually for academics, that's what you avoid, because the idea is that part of the worth of publishing in the academic field is to have it vetted, and that you're not paying for it to be published, which also means you should not be publishing an academic book if you plan to make a lot of money. Usually,
right.
Sometimes textbooks are the exception to that,
right.
But that's, you know, kind of a separate category of publication too.
And so where do you start then with a book? How do you get started?
Well, I think, you know, there's, you know, one way to define academic publishing, in particular a book, is to think about it. There's kind of these three different steps or three different areas. One is like thinking about writing effectively, and how do you figure out the scope of a project, and how do you organize it, and that area. The other is selecting a publication outlet, right? What are those different presses? But then once you've identified which category of a press you're primarily interested in, then thinking about, you know, which one? Who publishes in the areas that I am most interested? Who has academics, you know, maybe a series in that area? And then the other element is the context. What stage are you at in your academic career? Sometimes to think about publishing a book pre-tenure, it may be required for your field, mm-hmm. or it could be that the timeline in which you're expected to produce publications may be too short in order for you to realistically think about getting a book publication versus post-tenure.
Okay.
So I think those different contexts do make a difference in terms of thinking about a book project. The scope issue, again, is thinking about what kind of argument are you trying to make and how it's being developed. And so, you know, this is not something where you just sort of sit down with your Word document and you start writing a book. You know, whether you're, I think you're a creative writing or a creative writer or a critical writer, even an article length project, right? You often sort of have to work from an outline and see which are those. And sometimes it can be helpful to write in an initial journal article first and see how that and that, okay, yeah, this really is an idea
sort
that
float
I can.
The idea.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You have any stories from your own experiences?
Well, I think one thing that's really helpful to keep in mind, and I think this is true for when you're sending out a journal article or when you're sending out your book proposal or sending out sample chapters, is that you're likely to receive people who say, this is a stupid project, you know, you shouldn't even pursue it anymore. And you'll have other people who send you like, this is an amazing project, this is so original. And so it really is about fit and finding the right audience, while at the same time recognizing that both of those sort of extremes in feedback often provide you with very helpful ideas about, you know, kind of, are you hitting who your target audience is? And are there ways you might need to moderate your discussion of what your research is really about in order to not just hit maybe a very small audience that's, you know, immediately loves your project, and also working at this, you know, audience that may be always skeptical to what you're writing because they just don't maybe buy into that particular argument.
What advice do you give to colleagues? They've got a good idea. Where do you go next?
Yeah. Well, writing an outline, writing a book proposal, starting to write those chapters, I mean, it's that's the work of the writing process. And then it's, I think, one strategy is to always think about multiple projects. A book is a long-term project. And if you're like, oh, I'm writing a book, you're not writing a book. Mm-hmm. You're writing a specific section. You're doing research that's focused. And so to break down that big task into manageable chunks is what's going to produce. Because you won't make any progress, or at least I won't. I found in my own writing, right? Yeah. When you're like, I'm writing a book. No, you're writing a specific chapter. You're not even writing a specific chapter. Maybe you're writing that introduction, or you're doing research for a particular part.
I've often wondered this myself. When you're working with trying to get a proposal out there, what do you send?
Well, the best thing is to look at the publisher's website and see what they want to see. So I, you know, this is the academic part of, yeah, I don't like cold calling. Like, to me, like, that would be my nightmare job, would be to have to try to call people and try and get them interested, you know, make my pitch. And so one thing that I found that has worked well for me, that feels comfortable for me, is to send a query email a month or two before one of the major conferences where, you know, the publishers that are in your field will likely to be attending, and to say, I'm working on this project, would you have, you know, 15 minutes to talk with me about it, and give them, you know, just a brief paragraph, and maybe connect it. This is always helpful to, you know, I'm contacting you because you recently published this, or you have this series, and I think this would be a good fit. And if you like, I would be happy to send you, you know, my book proposal ahead of time, or a sample chapter, depending upon where you are in that process. And I think depending upon where you are in that career, I think you probably, I like to be at least halfway through, if not a little bit further along, before you get super serious about contacting a press about your work. Sometimes you may, if you're presenting at conferences, you may have presses contact you, and that's also a way to kind of help fill out those ideas. But sending that initial query email and then meeting them face-to-face for a brief meeting can help give you a sense in terms of what presses might be interested and what presses may not.
I've noticed that, you know, whenever you go to a conference, there'll usually be something on their tables.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then that's a good place to kind of get going.
So some, you know, some presses have no problems. They'll say, you know, send us a book proposal. Here's the format that we want it in. And you send it out. And there's some fairly standard content to at least most book proposals in the humanities. Other presses may, you know, want to meet with you first, or some, you know, might, you know, they all have a slightly different, but usually the process is you find the right acquisitions editor to and you send them an initial query. In some cases, you don't necessarily have to. I kind of like to, you know, at least kind of sort of try and meet them before I, you know, send them sample.
Well, it is a relationship, right? I mean, you're getting involved with the publisher, and you're saying, okay, you're gonna work with me, and I'm gonna work with you. Yeah. So you need to have a good feel, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's part of the process.
And this is where I think having different kinds of projects going on, even though it can be a challenge, if you're, especially if you're a person who likes to focus on one thing, but to think about it, and I'm not a cook, but the idea of like sort of a meal that's coming out at different stages, or planning over that, you have some things on the back burner, some things on the front burner, you have projects at different stages, so that you can also shift gears. Sometimes you need a break from one part of the project. So as you're working on the book proposal, you're revising the introduction, and you're doing research for chapter 3 or something like that. And maybe you're working on a journal article and you saw a conference call that's related to your project. And so, and maybe you're like, oh, I get to teach a special topics course, so I'm going to connect my teaching to this next area of research so that the new course prep will be related to my research. Another kind of helpful tool or strategy is, especially for large projects, is to use a tool like Zotero, which is this one happens to be free. There are other paid kind of versions, I think EndNote and other things, but it's a bibliographic tool, and Zotero integrates with, I think, most of the common word processor applications, so Word and it's great. So one thing, especially if you're sending out chapters and the journal has one citation format, if you're using Zotero, it's fairly easy to switch between formats. So if one journal, you know, doesn't work out with them, or it's not a good fit, and that was in Chicago, and then you're going to switch to MLA, and then you're going to switch to APA or something, that it allows you to make those changes fairly easily and focus on other kinds of revisions or content to make them a better fit for that journal.
I was going to ask you about time. One of the things I've done here is I'm on the Research and Professional Development Committee, and we'll often get proposals that will be about, you know, I want release time, or I want a stipend to help you with writing a book, and they'll give us timelines. And often we'll discuss, is this a realistic timeline? Mm-hmm. So what's a realistic timeline for writing a normal book?
If you're starting from scratch, and I think it really, you know, some people are very fast writers. It could be a topic that maybe you have a lot of background knowledge and understand the scholarly conversation already, and you understand exactly how you're fitting in. And so the work is, you know, writing the chapters. And maybe you'll be able to write a chapter during the semester, another chapter over the summer, and, you know, two more chapters. So you could feasibly, I guess that's about, you know, at least in terms of a draft, think about it over a 2-year process. But that to me is like super, super fast. Because most of us write, especially if it's a new project, this is not a revision of your dissertation, that or something that you've maybe fleshed out in a variety of different ways and now are looking to put together, that I don't know if there's necessarily a standard, and I think it depends on the project and how much new research you need to do and what your teaching load is like, and if you're able to match some of the reading and research and thinking with your teaching and what you're doing in terms of your research.
The portion of the show we're at now is what I call stock tips. We'll see if that stays. So would there be any resources that people could go to if they want to learn more about writing books?
There are, especially, even if you're not revising a dissertation, I think looking at some of those, and you can simply Google or look on Amazon, there's some, you know, fairly standard books in the field. The ones about writing books sometimes can be, you know, we want to make sure that you're not just looking at a trade publication, because that's a very different kind of audience. But if that's the kind of book that you're writing, right, then those books should be helpful. But I actually think that the networking and talking with folks who've written and looking at the publisher's website, because often they're giving you very clear guidelines and outlines about what they want to see, what kind of voice they want. So writing for one press may put you, you know, one press may want a certain kind of academic jargon or tone, and other may like, no, we're really trying to focus on not only specialists within this narrow field, but something much more broader. We're trying to, we envision this being in libraries and undergraduates using this as a resource. So I think that it's a combination. There, the Chronicle of Higher Education, Inside Higher Ed, all those often have great articles too about writing, the writing process, how to make sure that you have, you know, are highlighting what your argument is, what your scholarly. So those are kind of sort of broad resources, but it's that network of former graduate students, you know, or like your graduate student pals who are likely working or at a similar stage in their academic career that can be. So the labor of having someone else read your work when it's exchanged in that way is, you know, so valuable. Maybe colleagues here at your institution too will be able to provide that. Or in some cases, you're lucky enough to have, you know, you're still your former professors who can provide some of that guidance. But I think it's that network that can be, in some ways, the most valuable.
Excellent. So if someone wants to network with you, is there a way to reach you online?
So, yeah, you can, you know, kristen.jacobson@stockton.edu will get me, you know, email. So if anyone would like to see what, you know, like my book proposals look like, you can also see on my website, I have a kind of version of the current project that I'm working on. And it's basically organized in a, you know, with the standard topics of what most book proposals in the humanities ask for.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much for sharing with us today. Talking Stock is a podcast produced by me, Doug Harvey, for the Institute for Faculty Development at Stockton University. Visit our website, www.stockton.edu/IFD, where you can find a link to show notes and transcripts for every episode. The music for Talking Stock is provided by the Organic Music Library, www.organicmusiclibrary.com. Thank you for listening.